Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Good morning, and you are listening now to the Local Food Connections Radiothon show.
And I was really happy to come in and see that Amy was here. I thought she might be here to answer phones, but it was really cool to find out that she was happy to come on the show and actually do the panel, which is really good because then I can just talk and think. So
it's so good to be back in here with you after a hiatus.
Yeah. Well, you've been establishing your other fantastic show.
Oh, yes.
So Amy's show, Kick Your Fence,
Kill
Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence,
yes.
9 a.m. till 10 a.m.
Yep.
Every second Friday.
Yes, it is. Yep.
And how's it going?
It's going well. I was just saying to you, Anne, in the courtyard, I'd been reflecting a bit, and I think a bit influenced by this show, thinking about making sure I focus on the relational, how people, you know, how these beautiful spaces like that are featured like here on Local Food Connections mean that people from all walks of life get to meet each other and form these connections and build community. Because I think community power is really based in just different people, different views, different perspectives coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's another part to the show which is talking about the cities and the suburbs and the sort of ideologies in them, like the thinking about, like, you know, capitalism, all the isms. But I really want to make sure that I'm not forgetting that if we focus on the isms,
yep,
it can be it's not
divisive.
It doesn't build community as well as I think as focusing on how people relate to each other.
This is something I wrestle with this show too. How much of it's got to be political and how much of it's got to be interpersonal and even spiritual.
Yeah.
So this is where we are, I think, in history at the moment.
Yeah, I think we need it because I think people fight each other so much.
Yes.
When really we need to be coming together.
Yeah, connections, not disconnections through ideological differences.
Yeah, but we're here today
to get money.
Yeah. For this brilliant show
yep.
that I listen to religiously still, even when I'm not on.
And I want to start the show actually just by thanking the people who have got us to above our target. Our target's actually $900 and we're up to $552, and we would love if by the end of this show we could get up to the $900 and even beyond. But so I just want to start by just saying thank you to just some of the people that have donated, and we'll get through the whole list by the end of the show. So our first big shout out is to Mary O'Kane from Frankston, one of my favourite people in the whole world because it's my mum. And she's donated $103. Thank you so much. Thank you so much to Music Matters with Joe there and the beautiful Gracie.
Yes.
They've donated $10. Patricia Stevens from Rosebud has donated $37, and Jules J, who does great work up in Hurstbridge, really great community builder, really understands the sort of connection between the political and the social, really, and people. That's the sort of thing we're talking about. $31. So thank you so much to all of those people. Now we have got people on the phone. We've got Pilar and Lou on the phone ready to take your calls. And just for a little bit of an incentive, because the gardening show's probably got you all revved up wanting a prize for donating, so if you call in right now and donate anything at all, anything you can afford, we will send you tomorrow a copy of Penny Woodward and Pam Vardy's Community Gardens. Really nice book, put out a few years ago now by Cultivating Community. And it was kindly donated.
The Penny Woodward books in general are fantastic.
She's good. She's a permie, isn't she?
Yeah, I've got her herbalism book, and it's a great, simple herbalism book.
Yeah.
That's really, really good.
Yeah. And this one, too, is very, the simplicity is, it's a really simple book about the community gardens that are connected to the high-rise housing in Melbourne. Yeah. And the connections, so the whole idea that if you can cultivate a garden with other people, you're going to cultivate a community in that place. So it's the stories of people from really diverse backgrounds, what they bring to the garden there, what they get from it.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And some of their stories and some of their recipes. It's a really nice book. So first person who calls in with a donation for Local Food Connections will get a copy of Penny Woodward's and Pam Bardi's Community Gardens.
And don't forget that any donation that's $2 or more is tax deductible.
Of course, that's a very important thing.
And also, Anne, you can add me to your list of people. I'm donating $30 to the show.
Thank you so much for that, Amy. Thank you. So that's another $30 from Amy. Would you like a copy of the book?
No, I won't be taking the book. I have Penny Haywood books. Okay. I'll leave that to the callers.
Yeah. Amy's a great collector and reader of books around all this stuff.
I'll show you later, Anne, but they had a bundle of food and permaculture books for $20. It was like 10 books.
Oh.
And I snapped it up from the gardening show. Yep, and I'll show you a few. You might be interested in one or two.
Okay, all right. You tell the people why they should donate money while I get you a little clip from some of our great guests. I think the strength of this show is that we get really, really great guests on the show. So I'm just going to place some in a minute while you tell people.
No worries. Let me know when you're ready to go, Anne. Mm-hmm. So, folks, the reason we got to keep 3CR on the air is because it's a very special place. It's a place that's incredibly unique, and we are genuinely independent and non-commercial broadcast service. So when it comes to our shows like this, it's an independent voice. It's where there's no influence here. This is the community. It's the voice of the people from those communities speaking and doing their own shows, whether it's like us permie sort of community garden people, or if it's the Palestinian community or the First Nations community. It's 100% community owned and controlled, and that's such a rare thing in today's media landscape dominated by the folks like Mr. Murdoch and such.
And it's also completely run by volunteers and voluntary subscribers. So no paywall, it's free to air, but it needs people to subscribe to it in order to keep going.
And if you ever want to volunteer, just ring up the station. On 03-9419-8377. That's also a good number to call if you want to donate to the show right now. And you can also text in at, where's the number? Oh, there's so many.
3cr.org. Oh, no, the text number, 0488-809-855.
That's it.
So text in 0488-809-855. Mm. Now I'm going to play a little clip of Jack Adams, who is somebody who really cares about the impact of meat eating on the environment, also about supermarket monopolies or duopolies. And he really is into self-reliant communities where food is locally grown. So I'm just going to play a few minutes of Jack talking when he was on the show.
100% plant-based, serving about 1,000 students per week with meat alternatives instead of meat. And the students are still free to go anywhere on campus they like and purchase meat. It's more just like if the student union is there to support students and host sustainable, inclusive events, it just makes sense for it to be plant-based. Doesn't matter if you're halal, kosher, vegan, vegetarian, no one's ostracized with a sad little hash brown that they used to give those people. They can all just eat the same food together.
Oh, Jack, I don't know where to start on all that. That's a great idea, because a university campus is a lot of people. And it's quite a whole community, so it's brilliant. Actually, I hadn't ever thought of that. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
and I'm absolutely loving the just make a change in a moderate way. Start small. That's permaculture principle two: small and slow solutions. And it really soothes my brain because I've got the problem of always getting all binary and having false dichotomies. Like you have to be vegan or you're part of the problem, or thinking everything has to be black or white. And it's not true.
The world is not black or white at all, is it? It's no. So funny. The more you learn about things, the more you realize there is so much gray area. And what we're trying to do with this work is just inspire people to make those small changes, like you said about the permaculture principle. It's, you don't have to change overnight. You don't have to do some drastic thing. You know, maybe when you're eating at home, you eat more plant-based, and then when you're eating out with your friends, you be a bit more flexible, and you just take the smallest steps you can to start on that journey of reducing the amount of meat that you consume. And this is the same with all positive behaviors. You know, if we want to stop using soaps in a bottle and only buy from bulk bins and only ride our bike places and take 1 minute showers, and we try and do that all at once overnight, it's really overwhelming. So we're just trying to empower people by saying, don't wait for the government to make changes. That takes a really long time. Don't wait for institutions and organizations to change. Each individual person needs to take the responsibility and accountability to start making small positive changes in their life. And that's how the world changes. It's like what's happening with that local Food Connect swap at Warrandyte. It's just a small step, you know, it's just...
It's tiny.
It's tiny, but it's huge, you know. It's each of those people doing something small in their life to inspire others. And if everyone was doing that, this world would be an incredible place.
Mm. And just to reiterate, those food swaps are going on all over Melbourne.
Yeah.
In a tiny way. That's but right. But still, and you see the look on people's faces. Okay, we'll leave that there. I didn't actually intend for that to be so much of me talking, but I think what Jack had to say was very interesting and very much what Amy and I are trying to think about at the moment too.
Yeah. We are up to $582.70. We need to update that.
Cool.
That little target there, because I donated $30. Yeah.
Great. Good. That's fantastic. And we will do another shout out now to other people who've donated. So Emily House from Somerville, $98. Thank you so much, Emily. Karina Ido, $10 from Thornbury. Thank you so much, Karina. And Mark O'Kane, $30 from Armidale. Thank you too. So thanks to everyone there. And please call in if you would like to just donate out of pure generosity to help us here at 3CR, or if you would like a copy of our Community Gardens book. If you don't want a copy of the Community Gardens book but would like a copy of the Faulkner Feasts community recipes from Faulkner Food Bowls, please, if you ring now, I will send that out to you too.
Mm.
Okay, maybe we will do another little clip. Maybe we'll do one of yours. So let me see. Well, you had a really great conversation with Charlotte Harrison
from
Sustainable Gardening Australia.
And you also recently, I think, interviewed Zara Copeland.
Yes.
And it's a funny thing is I met her at a climate sustainability conference, and then I ended up failing to get in touch with her to bring her onto the show, and then she somehow ended up on the show anyway.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Connections. Yeah. Amy, connections. So Amy is a horticulturalist and so is Charlotte Harrison. So they had a really good, enthusiastic discussion about soil and why we should treat our gardens, how we should treat our gardens above and below the ground as ecosystems. So we'll have a little bit of a random play of Amy talking to Charlotte.
And nuts.
Not bread. Please don't feed birds bread.
Don't encourage people to feed birds anyway. I think it's always better to have a garden full of food.
Yeah.
But having a think about, you know, all of those grains and stuff, and having some plants like alocasiarinas that have got really hard fruit that they can eat, but also their main diet is actually insects. So it goes back to that soil and supporting insect life. in the soil. And you're right, planting indigenous plants will also encourage things. So you get stuff like wattles that have those insectary little bits on them, which are, they're not the flowers. They're a different part of the branches that exude a sugary substance that attract ants and other insects. So that's why you get heaps and heaps of caterpillars and things on acacias.
There's a wonderful book called, well, there's two books that spring to my mind, but if you live in the Western Plains of Melbourne, there's a Gardening for the Western Plains of Melbourne book, which is amazing if you want to get into this stuff. It even gives you garden design ideas and, like, you know, if you want to create like wetlands or something like that. Like, but there's, it's interesting because those council ones I really encourage people to go to because they usually have a little picture of a butterfly or a bird to sort of indicate those things. But I also don't want to ignore the research that's going into just sustainable plants to for climate collapse and stuff. So like, I think people are realizing that there are some species that maybe aren't endemic to that area but can be very useful. What are your thoughts on that?
Sometimes it's a bit of a tricky one if you're encouraging people to plant indigenous plants, but at the same time looking 50 years into the future. And we're told that really we should be looking at climates about something like 600 kilometres north of where we are at the moment, which for Melbourne, I believe, is looking at what's growing in Dubbo, which is, you know, a pretty hot, harsh climate compared to what we have now. I guess in terms of that, I always think of if you're planting something really long-lived, like a big tree, you definitely want to consider the future and what it's going to be like in if you're planting something for 50 or 100 years. And then mix that in maybe with some shorter-lived things that are indigenous to your area that you know are going to support native bees and butterflies and what we've got here now.
And I think you can create microclimates, right? Like, say we have you plant a tree that maybe isn't indigenous to the area, but it ends up creating a massive amount of shade for your garden and it's going to last a long time, then it'll drop the temperature underneath. And then that's my theory anyway, is to that we might be able to experiment with microclimates and, like you said, try and keep some of those shorter-lived plants around and stuff like that.
I think that's going to be so important, just understanding microclimates. And I was thinking about, you know, the weather we've had recently, even the we've got a hot week coming up.
So that was Amy chatting with Charlotte from Sustainable Gardens Australia, Gardening Australia. And if you want to hear the rest of any of these clips that we're playing, we've got 93 podcasts. We've been on air for 2 years and we've managed to get 93 podcasts together, all through voluntary labour, all paid for by you out there. So they're all there for you to dip into whenever you like, so feel free to do that. And just for context, you know, this show really does take place in the context of a food system that is that's central to ecological sustainability, because food production, processing, distribution, consumption and disposal all have big environmental impacts, right? So it's all about land use. You know, expansion of agriculture is a major driver of deforestation, habitat loss, biodiversity decline and all of that stuff. We talk about soil health, water use, greenhouse gas emissions, all of that. So that's the context of this show, even though we're often just talking about one little plot of land. Now, another donation has come in.
Yes, from Matt. Thank you so much, Matt. Matt has not claimed the book, though. So what's this book we have available?
So he doesn't want the book. He just wants to send us some lovely money.
Perhaps Matt is a Penny Haywood aficionado and already has.
Okay. So, well, we've still got a couple of the
Penny Woodward
books, Community Gardens, and one copy of Faulkner Feasts. And Matt maybe already has them. Or I think Matt might have called in last year and maybe he got one last year. I don't know.
Thank you, Matt. So thank you for listening and thank you for your support.
And thank you also to Pilar Aguilera from Coburg North, $50. Chloe De Silva, $15 from Berwick. Marina Bistrin, $67 from McLeod West. And I know that Marina is very active in the local Food Connect movement in the northeastern suburbs of Melbourne.
I have a question for you, Anne.
Yes, okay.
What was a good community meal that you had recently?
A community meal. What do you mean by a community meal? Just with other people?
Yeah. Well, maybe it was at like a market, or maybe it was for an event or something.
But
like
not that. Just something with my family? You mean?
Oh, you can be with your family. Yeah.
Because we went for a family winter solstice meal last night.
Yeah.
We went down to Rye. There was a winter solstice celebration at Sorrento.
Yeah.
We went all the way down there and we just had basically just pizza and wine with the family. That was lovely. But I would, in terms of community meals, big shout out to the Mitcham Community Meal. Have you heard of that?
No, tell me more.
Oh, it's a great thing that goes on every Sunday night at Mitcham.
Yeah.
Grew from one person out there wanting to help. There was two people that he knew of that were living rough in Mitcham.
Yeah.
And he'd used to take them a hot meal.
Yeah.
And now it's so big, they must get 100 people.
Yeah.
Coming from all over Melbourne,
yeah.
That know that it's there, and they come, they can get a hot meal.
Yeah.
They can get, I think they can get doonas, if some people donate blankets and doonas and stuff. They can network with each other.
Yeah.
It's really important. And I've had shared a community meal with them a few years ago, and that was truly inspiring.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things you can listen back to, listeners, on this show in terms of podcasts, is we have a number of people who do community kitchens and food swaps and such that have been on the show. They're just really inspiring.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Sometimes they ask to say the Lord's Prayer or something beforehand if they're a Salvation Army group or something. But
I interviewed Diverse on this show, which is Darabin, the Darabin something. And they basically do that stuff, but without the Jesus,
without the Jesus.
It's a secular event, which is actually something for me as a person from the LGBT plus community. Sometimes it's a bit daunting going into a space like that, just with the history between some of the organizations in my community. So it's actually, and also we live in a secular society.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that when we're trying to make sure we feed everyone, like a great group, another one would be Food Not Bombs. That just is
sure.
That we make sure we're very inclusive.
Yeah, sure. And why not include, if someone's motivated by their religion to do this?
Yeah.
Let's include. Let's make connections and not separations.
Wow. So. Before the show even started, you had raised over $500. Can I just say well done? That means you have a dedicated listener base.
Thank you.
And I get to, when I upload episodes to Local Food Connections, which has been a while, I'll admit, there is a healthy amount of regular listeners listening to your podcast.
Yes. Yeah, there is. It's been fantastic, actually. Yeah.
So you should be really proud,
Anne. And so should you, because you've already met your target over at Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence.
That's true, but you've been set a higher target this year, which means the station believes in you. And by the end of June, Anne will have smashed $900, I'm sure.
I hope so. Well, we've got 288 to go, so feel free to help us out here. Now, I'm going to play you another little clip. This is Liz Cronin, who is a very thoughtful, basically the convener of a food swap, but she really sort of has a strong philosophy about why she's doing it. So she, in this episode, she described how a food swap works and discusses how coming together to share food without money is not only transactional but transformative. So I'm just going to put Liz on here to talk to you. I'm not quite sure what part she's going we're on and what she's going to say, but here she is.
Sort of figure out how, mainly about really attracting people to the food swap and also raising our profile. And we've had a lot of different interventions. We've been had write-ups in the local paper. We've done drops, you know, pamphlet drops. We've gone into the market and sort of directly sort of let people know where we are. We have signage as well. We have promotional videos. So there's been a lot of that. And I think perhaps one of the major changes that we've had probably since COVID is just repositioning ourselves in the gateway of the community garden instead of being in the gazebo, which gives us greater flexibility and visibility, and also means that people, arguably when we were in the gazebo, there might have been a barrier to people coming because they had to come in through a gate, and so that can be a bit daunting, whereas people are just drifting past and they get to know us, and, we can sort of just sort of reach out and go, hi, we're the food swap, like to know some more. So getting back to the committee, sorry, I've gone off on a tangent there. Getting back to the committee, that committee is really, it's almost based on the ethos, I guess, that the food swap is. And the food swap, that the way in which we operate, is that we are based on goodwill. Bring what you can, take what you need. And if your garden is bare or there's nothing, you don't have anything there, your contribution or your participation is contribution enough. And I think the committee, if you like, or the conveners or whatever you want to call us, is based on that. We believe in what we do. We really value the time together. We value each other's contribution. And
what? I'm sorry to interrupt that lovely interview. Yeah. We just had a donation come through, Anne.
I know. And how much was it for?
Was it $100?
No, it was like $500. It's nearly making me weep. And I just said, thank you so much, Paula and John from McLeod. Sorry, not from McLeod, from Hurstbridge. John and Paula McLeod from Hurstbridge. Thank you so much. They say, well done, Anne and the team at Local Food Connections. And that has just absolutely made our day.
Yeah.
Got us beyond our target. We've got 2 minutes to go on our radio show. So thank you to all of our donors. And
yes, one big love to you all.
Big love to you all. And to Elizabeth Cronin, finally, North Warrandyte has donated $100. And we've now met our target. We're way beyond our target.
Yeah.
And I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who donated.
Oh,
and
amazing. And well done, Anne.
Well done, Amy. if you want to donate more money to this cause,
yes,
go over to Kill Your Lawns and Kick Your Fence.
Or the Local Food Connection show.
No, and over to your show too, and have a listen to Amy's show. And Amy and I are in constant dialogue about working all this stuff out, and her show will change over the next year, and this one might too, because we're really trying to come to terms with all this, and we don't understand it all, really. We're just, doing what we can. So thank you so much, everyone. Amy will now play our little tune, and then you'll hear from
Latin American update,
as usual.
Yes.
Thank you.
No worries. Thank you, listeners, and we'll see you next time. Looking up, we've been messing around, we've been freaking out, but it's time to get down, 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 cause we're made up of common ground, can't live without it, and it's time to get down, 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 down. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.